Shalom to you, to everyone around the world here on this podcast today on Does Yahweh Love Everybody? Question mark. We're going to be going to Vayikra chapter 10 and reading from the King James Version, also the Tree of Life and the scriptures as needed to make the necessary corrections back to the Hebrew if necessary. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you. Praise Yahweh. So does Yahweh love everybody? And I think we can get that answer even from the first scripture that I'm going to give here in chapter 10, just backing up a little bit here to the previous two verses. And it says in Leviticus, 9:23, "And Moshe and Aharon went into the tabernacle, the congregation, and came out and blessed the people. And the splendor of Yahweh appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire came out from before Yahweh and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." Verse 1, chapter 10, "Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aharon, took either of them his censer and put fire thereof." Now, this is of their own invention, by the way. "And they put incense thereon and offered strange fire before Yahweh, which he commanded them not." Yet a lot of people have the question, well, if something isn't forbidden, then it should be okay, right? But that's what Nadab and Abihu, apparently what their thinking and their motive was, that they could offer something of their own invention, strange fire, which were commanded not, things that weren't commanded. Well, there went out fire from the Yahweh and devoured them, and they died before Yahweh. So the fire went out, the fire went out and devoured Nadab and Abihu. Now, what is the ultimate conclusion, and what will happen to them? Well, we don't really know, but anyway, on this earth, they were extinguished. "There went out fire from Yahweh and devoured them. They died before Yahweh." Then I have a wealth of scriptures, if that be a good word. Lots of scriptures about this subject. And first of all, as we read the scriptures, we began in, you began in Genesis, but the next book is Exodus or Shemot. And this is the real muscle of the Torah, of the law of Yahweh. Torah meaning to define sin, to define love. And that's also, I can back that up if you would look at 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3. What is love? Love is keeping the commandments of Yahweh. So that, for one example alone, would convince us that loving Yahweh and defining sin are both intrinsically found within the commandments. It's just a honey-do list. Well, Isaiah 33:12 says in Yeshayahu 33:12, "For Yahweh," and that represents the tetragrammaton, the four letters, the Father's name. "For Yahweh," or Yahweh, "is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver, our Torah giver. Yahweh is our king. He will save us." You can all find that also in Yaakov or James chapter 4, verse 12. That is this question, does the Father just love everybody, as we hear in a great percentages of churches today, in Western America at least. Yes, that's what they're doing, is they're saying that the Father just loves everybody, and equally, in fact. Well, I went to vengeance, to the word vengeance here, and looked up scriptures that had that word. And in Romans chapter 12, Paul writes to the Romans and to all of us, in fact, and to all Israel, Romans 12:19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith Yahweh." So this is written in the Torah, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith Yahweh." We'll find that in Ezekiel later on here. Then 2 Thessalonians, we'll move from Romans to 2 Thessalonians 1:8. "Yahweh in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not Yahweh, or know not Elohim, and that obey not the gospel of Yahweh and Yahusha Messiah. So that was in 2 Thessalonians 1:8. And then we'll flip the pages over here to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. And in the old school way, we would hear all kinds of pages being flipped. Unfortunately, there are no sounds that go when you're reading your smartphone and reading the scriptures. So we just have to get used to it, I guess. But people are diligent. We know that you're turning pages if you're able to. Hebrews, or Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me. I will recompense, saith Yahweh. And again, Yahweh shall judge his people. Yes, we want to be ready. We do want to be ready when Yahweh comes, because we are his bride. Are you ready? Are you saved in Yahweh? Have you accepted his son and the sacrifice of his son for your sins? John 3:16, for Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, we shouldn't perish if we do it his way. Frank Sinatra said, I'll do it my way. And I used to say that too, but no longer, since I've come to know the Savior, the Deliverer, the one who gives mercy. He's forgiven and forgotten all my past repented sins. Then in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 7, the author writes, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, went after strange flesh. And they are set forth, these two cities are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Strangely enough, as gross as the sin of sodomy is, I read there, I believe it is, in Luke 13, about that it'll be more tolerable, maybe it was somewhere else, Matthew 12 or something, but it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you, you hypocrites and vipers, Messiah said that. So even that abominable sin, it doesn't seem to be quite as intense as, and the punishment quite as intense as those were hypocrites who try to deceive others and also believe that they're deceiving the Father. Those of you who have a question, if you're Jewish only and not Messianic, and you have a question about the Messiah, you'll find the Messiah all the way through Scripture, especially in Yeshayahu or Isaiah, in many, many places in the book of Isaiah or Yeshayahu. And how do I know these things? I've read the Scriptures. Yahweh's revealed them to me, to me. My name's Stephan Yah, and I've become a real believer in the Hebrew Scriptures and in the New Testament as well, from cover to cover. He is the same. The Father and the Messiah are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You'll find out that by reading Isaiah, it is not idolatry to think of Messiah as being part of the Mighty Head, being part of Yahweh, being Yahweh's son. It'll all be explained there. Oh, you might start at Yeshayahu chapter 7, and then chapter 9, and then go through some of the other great prophecies. So you are a descendant of Adam, correct? And of Abraham, Moses, perhaps Shem, of great-great-grandpa Shem. They're found in Genesis, or Bereshit, chapter 5 and 6, and throughout the Bereshit. So, but then our forefathers and your forefathers transgressed the Torah so much that finally, Yahweh didn't give up on them, but he broke that covenant temporarily to bring them back to repentance. And so he scattered or dispersed in the diaspora. He dispersed all Israel. And so here we are on the west coast of North America and waiting to return, waiting for that great time when we will come together and go up to Jerusalem to worship Yahweh year after year, especially at the feasts. Now, Deuteronomy 32, or Devarim 32:41, continuing with the theme about does Yahweh love just everybody? He takes vengeance, it says in chapter 32, not just on Israel or Jewish people alone, but as some might think, and some Protestants preachers have gone out of their way to say that it's only applicable to the Jews. But this is to the scattered, to Israel, whoever, wherever you came from, whoever your grandfather, great-great-grandfathers were. I think it'll probably point all the way back to Shem, or Noah for sure, right? Deuteronomy 32:41, Messiah says, Yahweh says, if I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies, and I will reward them that hate me. Yes, let's stop it now. Let's have no more of those hate crimes. In other words, the crimes against Yahweh and his economy. Stop disobeying his Torah. And then, verse 43, we skip down, I think we skipped verse 42, but rejoice, you nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Then, for other examples of vengeance, I'm going to only include about 10 more quick ones there. From Isaiah, we will going from Deuteronomy to Psalm. Here we go. I wasn't confused. Psalm 94, or Tehillim, or Mizmor, chapter 94, verse 1. I've only been doing this for 30-some years, so I'm still a little bit rusty, and unfortunately aging, so pardon my forgetfulness or lack of organization. Psalm 94, verse 1, O Yahweh Elohim, to whom vengeance belongeth to, O Elohim, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. You might want to read more of that. I'm sorry, I'm just giving abbreviated verses here. Psalm 99, verse 8, Thou answerest them, O Yahweh, our Elohim. Thou wast the Elohim that forgavest them, thou that tookest vengeance on their inventions. Psalm 149, verse 7, Yahweh, to executing vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. And then in Proverbs, in Mizmor 6:34, jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. And back to Isaiah now. For it is the day of Yahweh's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. That controversy might be because of our covenant with death, for having alliances with his enemies, even with those from the mystery Babylonian religions, that we've made a covenant with death. You can read more about that here, possibly on some of our most of our same stations, I might say, some of the other websites, such as Jews for Yeshua. Jews for Yeshua with Brother Hezekiah there, who blew the trumpet at the beginning. Ezekiel 25:17, I will execute great vengeance upon those with furious rebukes. I will have vengeance upon them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am Yahweh, when I shall lay my vengeance upon them. And, no, that was way too abbreviated. I mean, it was a lot of words, but it really, you know, out of context. What else does that say, I wonder? So I'll turning here again. Okay, 25. And I think I'll go to verse 11 there. Now, does Yahweh just love everybody? I will execute judgments upon Moab, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because that Edom, has dealt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and has greatly offended and revenging himself upon them. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, instead of G-O-D, and we use other substitutes like the Mighty One or the Eternal, but Elohim, I know we cast doubt upon that word in the past, and but there just isn't another substitute out of the Hebrew that I know of, other than these different ones that I've already told you. The Eternal and the Sovereign One, the Mighty One. Thus saith Yahweh Almighty, I will stretch out my hand upon Edom, and I will cut off man and beast from it, and will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel. They shall do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh Elohim. Continuing in Ezekiel 25:15, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, YHVH Elohim, because the Philistines have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with a despiteful heart to destroy it for the old hatred, therefore thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will stretch out my hand upon the Philistines, and I will cut off the Carathims and destroy the remnant of the sea coast. Probably should be reading out of the Tree of Life instead of the King James at this point, but all right. And I will execute great vengeance upon them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am Yahweh when I shall lay my vengeance upon them. Well, that is love. That's tough love, that Yahweh has to be tough with us and hold the line. And in fact, not a degree of varying standards or anything with the Father. There is no variableness with him, nor shadow of turning, as the Apostle James said. And as we read these things from prophets and from the Torah, we have to be mindful that the Torah is a definition of Yahweh's active love and his standards, and that there is a substance, a moral substance, to our faith, to our creed, to our doctrine. And we don't worship a Torahless Elohim or a Torahless Messiah of no moral substance. That we do believe in giving him active love by obeying his word, and hopefully every word of it. Okay, we don't hide behind the Christmas tree and worshiping strange Elohim, such as the practice has been of many, unfortunately, or sadly enough, I should say. So we will go on now to Micah, shall be the next one, about Yahweh's vengeance. And then we want to move on to a few other characteristics of Yahweh, talking about his anger and fury. Micah 5:15, the prophet Micah, and quoting Yahweh. This is not in Micah's own opinion or Isaiah's opinions or Ezekiel's. This is inspired by Yahweh, as sure as the nose is on every face of every human being and animal. Yes, it's all done by creation. Regardless of what the public schools might teach in opposition to that we have been created. We haven't been theistically evolved by any means. It wasn't just a freak accident that we're here. Micah 5:15, and so that's why I do the things I do, or at least try to do. I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Oh, boy, that's not good at all. Doesn't sound too good. And then finally, in Nahum, N-A-H-U-M, chapter 1, Elohim is jealous. That is the first two. Elohim is jealous, and Yahweh revenges. Yahweh revengeth, and is furious. Yahweh will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. But of course, we will learn later on that he has great mercy and patience as well. But in the meantime, he will punish his people for not being faithful, for our infidelity, for our spiritual idolatry and spiritual adultery. Well, any kind of adultery or idolatry. Hosea, then, still in the so-called minor prophets, in the Older Testament, Hosea 4:9, and there shall be like people, like priests, I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. He said, I will punish Israel. Verse 14 now, chapter 4, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that does not understand shall fall. Then in Amos 3:2, You only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Speaking to Israel again here. That was Amos 3:2. Love the whole book of Hosea and Amos and Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 8. And it shall come to pass in the day of Yahweh's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with, and he's speaking about your personal wardrobe here. Yes, that is, it's not a joke. All such as are clothed with strange apparel. In other words, with those heathen apparel that are not specified, not proper clothing and not modest for today's believer. Yes, he even worries about, even is concerned and loves us to wear something appropriate in his presence. And that would include the, for men, the kippah, if you consider yourself a priest before Yahweh, but especially the talit with the tzitzis. Very important. We should be wearing that, especially when we're in his presence. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 26:24. Or if you like, just listen, because these are just snippets to demonstrate now the punishment, even of a loving Elohim. Then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. Leviticus 26:24. Or it should have been called Vayikra in Hebrew. In Isaiah chapter 10 and then 13, 10:12, Isaiah. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when Yahweh has performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. That seems to fit into the political picture, if you will, of the Mideast in the year 2018, 2019, which we are moving into. We're having a terrible droughts as well. Not putting the politics aside, actually, I think it's a result of our shoddy system of government, that there's no moral substance, and to our creeds as well in our different churches. It seems like that with most of them, that there's no longer any moral substance, that people aren't, not very many people are studying the commandments. I know there are a lot of people who actually do study the commandments, statutes, and judgments of Yahweh. Commandments, statutes, and judgments are listed all the way from, from Exodus 10 all the way through the book of the Revelation in the New Testament. I'll punish the world for their evil, he says here in chapter 13 of Yeshayahu Isaiah. I'll punish the world for their evil, and the wicked I'll punish for their iniquity. So even though we read John 3:16 or Yochanan 3:16, that Yahweh so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. But he says, I'll punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. Now this is not for a different time period or dispensation or anything like that, or any of that other crazy stuff. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Oh, how I grieve for those who are just so stubborn, who don't understand, who want to rock on. They might want to rock on for Jesus, but it's in the flesh. You know, sometimes you get in the flesh. You ever had that problem? Well, today is the Sabbath. We're not tempted so much, because we're walking very closely with Yahweh today, reading the Word. But when you get out there in the world, it could be a different story. When we face all these daily temptations, these disgusting, boring things that, you know, well, anyway, I don't think you want to get into it. And the end is near. So that's part of the good news, is that it could be very, very close to the end of the world as we know it, the second coming, and that great new Jerusalem is going to be a reality, no longer just studying about it, and then after 30 years you get tired. Some people might get tired of it, but we're moving toward Yahweh's kingdom, the everlasting kingdom to come. And pick up your luggage. Now, pick up the scriptures. Don't pick up your luggage and stand on a hillside, as some vainly did in the past there in the 1970s and 80s. We're looking for that new way of life with the Savior, for His pleasure only. And we're taking delight in lifting up our works. Yes, it's okay. It's all right to do good works. It's not going to save us. It might get us a few extra rewards, but we're not cognizant of that. We don't, that's a side issue about the rewards. We just want to do it because we love Him, that He draws us near every day. And He takes delight in hearing our singing of the choruses and the handling of the tithes and staying away from worldly things, staying away from the rock and the intensity of the world. And the accent is not on a higher plane or intellectualism. No, it's on the love of Yahweh and His mercy. And we'll talk about the mercy here, but first of all, I've got to finish up now in Yekezekiel chapter 18 for verses 24, 5, 6, and then another chapter. So in chapter 18, 24, and you might want to take a break somewhere in here, because we're already so far into this podcast. Does Yahweh just love everybody, was the question. And try to have some other issues brought up here. A medical issue is going to come up during this podcast, by the way. Yes, and talking about His justice and righteousness being set apart. Yeah, well, okay, 27 minutes in, it says here, according to the engineer, that's myself, taking care of the controls there. Now, okay, Yekezekiel 18:24, after that rabbit trail, which says, when the righteous turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, or backslides, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass he has trespassed, and in his sin he has sinned. In them shall he die. If not just a physical death, perhaps a spiritual death forever. You know, we don't want to be separated from Yahweh forever and suffer the lake of fire, Tartarus. And the next verse, yet you say the way of Yahweh is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? You know, man's ways are really unfair. But Yahweh's way is righteousness, truth, and justice. And so that was, okay, moving to verse 26. When a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies in them, his iniquity that he has done shall not be remembered, and he shall die. So whether that's physical or spiritual death, but the fact is that we shall die in our iniquities if we don't turn sooner or later, if we don't have a change of heart, and at least make an attempt. Even they say, don't do works, but you know, at least if you even making an attempt and cry out, Yahweh is going to do something. He's gonna draw near to you as you draw near to Him. You say, well, I don't feel like it, Brother Stephan Yah. Well, maybe today you don't. After things change a little bit and the blessing comes, you know, it's just not overnight sometimes. We have to have patience. We have to let the seed grow, the seed of Yahweh's love by the Spirit. Chapter 39, verse 25, therefore thus saith Yahweh Elohim, now I will bring again the captivity of Jacob. Or in other words, another way of saying that should have been, I'll bring back the captives of Jacob from this diaspora. The Israelites will return. So I'll bring back the Israelites, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my pure name, So there it is. We're all concerned about Yahweh's name. YHWH, Yahweh, Yahovah, the Mighty One, the Creator of all heaven and earth through His Son. And if not, well, if we don't worship Him, if we don't value that as being significant, then He's got the answers for us. Unfortunately, everlasting punishment. Matthew 25, that very same one who's been speaking to us through Ezekiel, Isaiah, Micah, Amos, and Nahum, he says in Matthew 25:46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous shall go into life eternal." And I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but if not, somebody wrote Hebrews 10:29 under the inspiration. And of how much sore punishment do you suppose shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of Yahweh, and has counted the blood of the covenant, the blood of the covenant wherewith he was set apart, a impure thing, and has done despite unto the spirit of grace, it says there, but unmerited favor. Okay, and no, not unpure, but impure should be. As I make these corrections, and I hope that you someday take advantage and read them on the web page. So, there it is. We've thought about the punishment, about the fear of Yahweh. We thought about during that verse. Did it occur to you about Yahweh's covenant, that we might be throwing that into the ditch, or His Torah, His honey-do list? His agreement with you. We don't want to throw His Torah in the ditch and bring it to naught, bring His name to naught, and just change His name to whatever, to anything. If you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. And I referred to that holiday of the winter solstice or Christmas. And there's a song there about, I think it's called Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And I noticed the lyric, I don't know whether they actually sang this or I imagined it, but it's Santa Claus, referring to him, he says, "He knows when you've been sleeping," or "He knows when you're awake. He knows," and I think the word was changed to "love." So He loves you when you're sleeping, He loves you when you're awake. And He loves you whether you've been naughty or nice, or been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. No, I can't be good for goodness sake, and be good for Yahweh's sake, and not to some Satan Claus. So that's all I might say about that. A lot of you are probably a little bit sensitive about the world's holidays. We do have a program about Hanukkah, which is not only an alternative, but a viable New Testament feast day. It's not in the Torah, but it's in our Hebraic history, 500 years before Messiah. And you can read about Hanukkah on our website there, about the period of the Maccabees. So also during the autumn year, when we're waiting for some winter snows, we're wondering if any winter will even appear, but people had prepared for their pagan Halloween for many, many months. And, of course, they're preparing for their Christmas, winter solstice celebration, and the spring equinox celebration, Eshtar or Easter. But one of the holidays, or the stuff that they do in America, is one of the things is Thanksgiving, a very wonderful time. There's a slight pagan connection to that, but it's not going to lead somebody into bondage, referring to the horn of plenty, the cornucopia. So somebody put that on the table, the cornucopia, and it doesn't have anything to do about animals or turkeys or anything, or football, see. But it's a giving of thanks to Yahweh. There's so many scriptures about giving thanks, and we've got some podcasts about that, of course, about Thanksgiving, so I hope you'll take time to read that on our website, Yahweh Yahweh, giving thanks to Yahweh. And how blessed we are, even if we don't get what we have expected to get, a certain time of year, in our case, snow, so we can all go skiing, right, or snowmobiling or something. Oh, what an age of prosperity, blah, blah, blah. Oh, ho-hum, or bah-humbug, Why should I keep? Some people are thinking, why should I keep the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, because don't we want to be ready? Don't we want to be in the throne room and be prepared and have the right apparel on and just gleaming and waiting for the Messiah, for the husband to show up and call us together as we will see him as he is. Here's the book of the Revelation, chapter 22. We finished with Hebrews 10:29 of how much sore punishment do you suppose worthy those who didn't really appreciate the blood of the covenant. They trod it underfoot. They threw Messiah's Torah into the ditch. They threw Messiah into the ditch. And they counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was set apart an impure thing. And they did despite unto the spirit of unmerited favor. So Revelation 22:14 is coming up here that we finish this section. And how delighted we are to have the freedom still to be able to worship and praise in Yahweh's presence here in North America. Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments. Oh, come on. Now, that's legalism. That's Old Testament, they would say. I say that facetiously. They that do his commandments, blessed are they that do those things, that they may have the right to, no, they're not saved by it, but they have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without our dogs, now they're, whether it be your favorite pet, I don't know, but dogs or maybe some sort of a lower type of person, dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, whosoever loves and makes a lie. I, Messiah, have sent my messenger to testify unto you these things. Or I, Yehoshua, or some say Yeshua. Let's see, Yehoshua. I have sent my messenger, it says there in the King James, angel, to testify unto you these things in the assemblies. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride beckon you to come. They say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Are you thirsty and dry? Lift your hands to the sky. It's beginning to be the latter rain. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, sister. Thank you, brother. We're on Yahweh's side. I know we've got a lot of liberals in charge of the government there. In Oregon, it's terrible. Colorado, California. Don't even go there right now. Oh, the politics are terrible. They're going to be persecuting the believers even more. But, you know, they're not going to win. They're going to lose. The rest of the story is that Yahweh's people, that Yahweh is going to win, actually. We're not the winners. But he is. He is the sovereign one who's going to do the fighting for us. He's going to, you know, it'd be like 10 men against a million or something, and then they just get wiped out. Strange, isn't it? So praise Yahweh for keeping us and bringing us into line and getting our hearts ready and our minds thinking. You know, he said he's going to write his covenant into our heart. That was in Ezekiel. I think it's 36:26. And also in Hebrews 10:16 and Hebrews 8:10. Hebrews 8 or Hebrews 10 or Ezekiel 36. But, you know, there are those that say, well, just let your conscience be your guide. So here's a concept that my wife Jean here has, my wife or spouse has brought this to my attention, that people say, let your conscience be your guide. And yet, if Yahweh's Torah was already in our hearts, then why would he say this? I will put my spirit within you in, let's see, no. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Well, that's not the, let's see, the one about the new covenant Yeah, I think I'm going to go to Hebrews 8:10 then, because that's not exactly what the phrasing that I was looking for. But isn't that wonderful, though? You're going to take away the stony heart out of my flesh and put in a heart of flesh. I don't automatically, just by virtue of being the parents of mom and dad or going to their church or anything, even if it was the best church in the world, you know, I don't have that conscience being my guide. It's not a perfect thing. I might know, you know, don't steal, don't lie, don't disobey your parents, at least while I'm still a kid. Don't do this and that. You know, I might know a few of those do's and don'ts, but I don't know that much until the faith comes by the word, by hearing the word. So when I hear Yahweh's word, then I know. When I read it and hear it and study it, then I know the difference between right and wrong. I can discern between right and wrong. Right? Correct. Ibram chapter 10, and the Spirit also is witness to us. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. It was Jeremiah 31 that I had been looking for there. Hebrews here, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Paul says, now where remission of these, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the purest place by the blood of Messiah, that a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through his flesh, through Messiah's flesh, and having a high priest over the house of Yahweh, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good deeds, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Today it would be as the manner of most. Except if it's one of those motivational churches, a Rick Warren kind of a mega church. People are flocking there by the dozens looking for some excitement. And there, you know, there might be a few little points there. But exhorting one another to go to Yahweh's pure place, his separated place to praise him, so much the more as you see the day of Yahweh approaching. If we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more offering for sins. Praise Yahweh for his offering. Well, let's see. Before I give you a list now of things to listen for on my website, I think that people are ignoring a lot of really good things. Maybe it's just that they didn't know about it. I'm going to tell you that. But what do we have now? We have Ezekiel. We do. Well, I did read 36. It says, in the tree of life, I will take you from the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. Moreover, I'll give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll remove the stony heart from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my Ruach, that's the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, within you, and cause you, or enable you, that you'll have the privilege to do this. I'll cause you to walk in my laws, so you'll keep my rulings and do them. These laws are the definition of love with Yahweh, and the definition of hate as well. The definition of when we hate him, we're sinning. We're going against what the scriptures literally say, that it has to be defined some way or another about our behavior, right? And so that's why we have the scriptures to keep us in line, have us walk a straight and narrow line there. I'll cause you to walk in my Torah, so you'll keep my rulings and do them. Then you'll live in the land that I gave to your fathers. You'll be my people. I'll be your Elohim. Praise Yahweh for that. So we're moving into the 7,000th rest year. The millennial 1,000th year is, I believe, right around the corner, and according to many, many predictions, but we are quickly coming to that time when We're going to have to reckon with Yahweh, with the judge, with the lawgiver, and meet the judge face to face. And what a wonderful reckoning it will be, because Messiah will be there, and Satan will be no longer accusing us falsely, or maybe some of our friends or religious people will no longer be making up stuff about us. It's a bad world out there. I've gone through a bad time with a lot of our friends and family because of our faith. It wasn't a direct thing. It was just sort of over a long period of time where things tapered or incrementally walked in. I think the Masons were a part of that. Some of the major religions were, not to put down the whole there, but the Roman Catholics, some of those in our little town were way too over-controlling and got involved with our family and broke it up. I lost my first wife. I lost our daughter, and she seems to be just forever wandering, but maybe there's some hope for that. Yes, and it's a long story. I could tell you my sob story, but I don't know how many of you would really want to hear that. Maybe I'd someday put it on that About Us. So some of the other things on the Yahweh website, as I go into this promotional part, so that you could, we have about Tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkot, and quite a few programs on that. There's one that's 60 minutes long that was recorded at the 2018 Feast of Sukkot, which is an exhortation by Stephen Yah on fasting, Yom Kippur, the fast of Yom Kippur, or Fast of Atonement, or At-One-ment. And also there are programs galore talking about Yahweh's name, about Hebrew expressions, especially analyzing every Hebrew word and English word with its English counterpart. Hebrew expressions, Colossians 2 and Romans, Galatians, and so on. The Greatest Treasure, Peculiar People is a good program. The Minister of Sacrifices. The Ministry of Sacrifices, 2 Corinthians 3, is thoroughly explained, even in an hour-long podcast. We have programs about Pesach or Passover, about Shavuot or Pentecost, produce and preparation, perfection and persecution, His precious word. Is it time to tarry? Should we tarry and then obey, or should we just start right now in letting Yahweh write His laws and His Torah in our hearts and minds? Should we wear the proper apparel, the tzitzis, the beard for the men, Israel's tokens? There's a 68-minute podcast about that. One called, Is It Such a Small Thing, or Small Things and Doctrines? There's about the media. That's a constant obsession, it is an obsession with most people, but it's a big problem, of loud rock music entering even the Messianic assemblies and just all sorts of churches. It's going to be, I can't even walk into a store. It's going to be intolerable someday. And I was saying a little bit in jest, I guess, to my banker the other day, well, if you want to hear rock and roll, I guess one of the places to go would be the church. She looked at me with this blank stare. But it's not a good thing. And I've been a disc jockey for 60 years, 60 plus years, and I could bonify everything and back it all up that I've told you, how it affects our emotions, our spirit as well. So there's programs about temple music and dancing, sacrifice, covenant love. Is walking in faith in the Torah, is that straining a gnat and swallowing a camel? That's a recent program. One entitled, Who is on Yahweh's Side? Walking on the Torah Trail, Works of the Law or Words of the Law? Another recent program. The Challenge of Scriptural Truth. Feast, Fruits, and the Names, and the Warnings. He will know us by our fruits. Rock music versus praise music. And if it is not in the scriptures, can I do it? That we read, first of all, from the book of Devarim. And a program about the covenants. Hosea. Hosea, what? The prophetic presentation is what that is. In defense of the faith once delivered. Oh, there's a ministry that, a worldwide ministry that's originated in Bend, Oregon, of all places, is fairly close, I guess, and they point out some of the bad trends that are coming through the culture and through the churches, but, you know, not once have they mentioned that there might be something that they need to scrutinize, to analyze in their own doctrinal corner. No, they seem to be perfect. You know, but we ourselves here at Yahweh Yahweh would admit that we're still looking at the scripture and being introspective and, you know, considering, now, is this right? Did we make a mistake here or what? And then somebody might write in, and it could be just a frivolous letter, but then there might be something serious that somebody would write us about. So we need to pay attention and listen to our brothers and sisters, even those younger in the faith, to see if these things be so or not, as the Bereans did, that they were so noble, like those in Thessalonica. It says there in Acts that they searched the Old Testament daily to see whether or not these things were so. They searched the Torah. So, well, a lot of programs. Does forever mean forever? Hate crimes, feasts in the New Testament, all those 26 feasts mentioned in the book of Acts, and not even using the Gospels, but to demonstrate that the feast days were still alive in the New Testament period recorded by the apostles. There's many scriptures. I think I have the entire book of Psalms on audio for you. It is not a dramatic presentation, as you would hear some. It's without all the drama, but it's still interesting. And then there's Paleo Hebrew, a little bit about that, a couple of programs. And we address the issue of the blood moons that came out in, 2016, or was it 2017, that it was supposed to be a big prophetic thing. And then what really happened of significance, and what did it represent, if anything. A program called Faith and Interpretation, one called Faith is the Word, Faith, Fear, and Freedom, The Final Warning, and Spiritual Health. And I wanted to say a word or two about that. Personal Sins, Prodigal Joe, Guard Your Family. Remember I told you to beware, because you might, like I did, be so naive and move into a community, and being naive as I was, thinking that everybody had good intentions, and then they take advantage of you, take away your family, maybe their faith, and then try to take away your faith as well. In the end, I guess that'll be the final persecution that will follow. So be on guard. Then Sin, Righteousness, and Judgment. Obey Yahweh through the power of the Ruach HaKadosh. Our goal is not to just get along with everybody, no matter what, or to compromise, or to, the other side of that is not to get down in such a self-righteous way that we criticize everybody either. Everybody might have a little something good to say, something to add. And it might be from their heart. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So don't be a materialist. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, said the apostle Yochanan in 1 John 2, 15. Oh, and then a word about getting out, even when it gets too cold and blizzards and so on. Don't go out in a typhoon and, you know, get swallowed up or anything, but if you can, try to get out and get some sunshine, fresh air, and recreation. Watch your diet carefully. Chew your food, don't just gulp everything down. I used to do that, I guess, when I was young, And somehow, miraculously, I survived the years of junk food. So a diet really does make a big impact on our health. Plenty of sleep, if we can, not over, but, you know, 7-8 hours a day as an average would be good. And remember our marriage covenant with Yahweh. I am Stefan Yah. Thank you very much for joining me. Any comments would be appreciated. And our email address is stefanyah@yahvehyahweh.name. That's I'm going to spell this, the first word, Stefan Yah. It could be Stephen, but it wasn't. It's in Hebrew, Stefan Yah, T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H, at Yahweh, that's Y-A-H-V-A-H, Yahweh.name, N-A-M-E. And that's the email there. The website is Yahweh.com. Praise to Yahweh. We look forward to moving up and moving into the millennial period. And we want to encourage you to not only be ready to, but to have the excitement, to have the joy and the anticipation in your heart when Yahweh returns soon. He's coming for his bride, for you, and hope that you'll be found in his righteousness and not in self-righteousness, and doing his good works that he's told you already. He's already defined what righteousness is and what good behavior is, so all we got to do is just read it and then do it. He'll enable us to do that. We can't do it on our own power. And to keep his solemn feasts, are we going to be prepared? And not just in a general way. I heard on the radio, I won't make it into a long sermon or anything here, but some woman was saying on the Christian radio station there that are you ready for the end or something like that? Getting ready, I don't know, preparing or something like that. But the way to prepare, are we preparing for his wedding supper? Oh, we need to do that. Thank you, Yahweh, for giving us such a wonderful invitation. And we will respond. We'll be there. We'll be ready. And come quickly, Yahweh, and through thy son, Yahusha. Praise Yahweh. Thank you for joining us today on the radio. Shalom. Shalom, shalom.